Come on, clap your hands, everybody. Come on.
Hi, I'm Henry Davis, pastor of the First Baptist Church of Highland Park in Landover, Maryland, a Bible-believing, Christ-centered, and Spirit-led congregation. I want to welcome you to our radio broadcast. And remember, there's power at the park.
As we stand, if we can, and turning our attentions to our scriptures and the gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 12, take your eyes down to verse number 28. New Living Translation says, one of the teachers of religious law was standing there listening to a debate. He realized that Jesus had answered well, so he asked, of all the commandments, which is the most important? Jesus replied, the most important commandment is this: listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is the one and only Lord, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these. The teacher of religious law replied, well said, teacher. You have spoken the truth by saying that there is only one God and no other. And I know it is important to love him with all my heart and all my understanding and all my strength, and to love my neighbor as myself. This is more important than to offer all of the other burnt offerings and sacrifices required by the law. Realizing how much the man understood, Jesus said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. And after that, no one dared to ask him any more questions. Thus far, the words of God. You may go to your seats around the building. I want to come back with the help of God, guidance of his Spirit, to that 33rd verse. And I know it is important to love with all my heart, all my understanding, and all my strength, to love my neighbor as myself. Yes. This is the most important. This is more important than to offer all the burnt offerings and sacrifices required by the law. I want to talk in this setting from the subject, what's most important? What's most important? Again, many times, of course, of those of you in academia, you have to look at what is the most important thing as you're working through a reading, a text. What lesson is it that I'm trying to learn as I'm seeking to navigate and come through that which is laid before me? There are lessons that are going on an ongoing basis. Every day there's a lesson that can be learned. We have the possibility and the potential of being better than we were before if we are simply open to whatever it is that God wants to say to us. What's most important? When you come to church, again, we here at First Baptist Church of Highland Park, we try to keep the main thing as the main thing. You come to worship here, you know you're going to get the word. You're not going to get a whole lot of preliminaries, a whole lot of distractions, because we want ultimately to hear from God. As I hear from God, and I don't stand here today and act like it's about me. No, it's about Him. And that's what we've got to do. We've got to get out of the way so that God can indeed lead the way. What's most important? There's so much that can happen, so much drama, so much excitement, so many things that we can focus on. Who's zooming who, looking at who came in with this one or that one. What's most important? What is it, God, that you want to say to me? And what is it? What is the very message that I need to hear? It might differ on my row or my section. It might differ because there are different things that we are encountering, that we are experiencing. No, I don't know what your last week has looked like. I don't know what challenges you've had to deal with, who got on your last good black nerve. I don't know who it is that has disturbed your life. I don't know about the fact of what did it take for you to get to worship this morning, trying to find your keys, trying to match things together, remote control that is put out of place, and the things that could easily frustrate us. Then again, this what's most important, we realize that I'm here. I'm in the presence of God. And as I come through those doors, I pray a prayer. Lord, what is it that you need to say to me? Several years ago, I was preaching in East Africa in Kenya. And as we were there in Kenya, we were at a noon service on Wednesday. And it was a Wednesday at noon, and the persons in the village were coming in. And before they would worship, they would spend time in dedicated prayer. Some were kneeling, some were standing against the wall. And then that was something that excited me, Dr. Yvonne, because I looked at their sense of sincerity, because they did not want anything to get in the way of what God wants to say to me. What's most important? We realize that in this message this morning, there are three areas that we're going to investigate. Number one, love must be at the center of the believer's heart. Yes, love must be at the center. There could be a whole lot of things that center us, but those things that center us do not keep us on balance. Where our lives are out of balance, our worship life is out of balance, because the Bible says, Dr. Carl, to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then if I'm seeking that, then all of the other things can line up in my life. There are persons who are trying to be concerned about the money, yeah, the bling and all of that. But what's most important, in the last couple of days, we have seen the NFL draft. And while I was impressed what one young man, he got drafted and he was talking about the millions of dollars, of course, he's going to make. But he was at the press conference and then he said, I know y'all like my jacket, and you're trying to figure out where I got it from. Well, I need to tell you, I got my jacket from Macy's, and I'm going back to Macy's to get some more jackets, because in my family, we always bought our clothes two seasons ahead, because when we bought our clothes two seasons ahead, it was getting us ready, and we always got a good deal. And Macy's is still going to be my friend, no matter if it is that I am a top pick in the NFL draft. Macy's is still my friend. You got to understand that what is going to be at the very center of your life. And again, the second thing we're going to look at is don't get bogged down with the unimportant. In other words, I can look at it this way, that we end up majoring in minor things that can have a major impact in our lives. And that's why sometimes you got to push those things to the side so I can now hear from God. God is trying to speak to you, because God knows what's around the corner. And not only does He know what is around the corner, but He knows what's going on right now. And so this dialogue that is taking place between one person who is educated in a secular way, but then we realize he's having having an encounter with Jesus. And so Jesus has to set the record straight. Jesus has to speak to his situation. And then Jesus is going to say to him how, where you are in terms of your position to the kingdom. Some people who are in church are not in Christ. And you need to realize that everybody who has a badge on or a designated seat, that does not necessarily mean that they have had an encounter with the Lord. And so Jesus is having a dialogue with this individual, and he needs to tell him what's most important. And the third thing we're going to talk about this morning is we must give our all to God, because that's what God has done for us. I'm thanking God that I hear a song jumping up in my spirit right now, and the song is Ain't No Half-Stepping, because you got to realize that God did not half-step with us, and therefore we should not half-step with him. Let me come at it this way, that God did not take shortcuts. My God, God did not take a shortcut. Then we realize that you have to understand that there can be shortcuts in this life. But you have to realize that whatever the journey is, I want to learn whatever lessons that God has specifically for me. Well, let's come back and unpack this morning in this early morning worship experience. Number one, love must be at the center of the believer's heart. Oh, I got to thank God that in that 33rd verse, there is the response. And he says, I know it is important to love him with all my heart and all my understanding. It is important, but I need for you to know not just that it's important, but that it's the most important. The most important thing, and all my understanding and all my strength, I got all of that, and I need to love my neighbor as myself. Matter of fact, many of us don't even like our neighbors, let alone love our neighbor. Love our neighbors as ourselves. And this is more important than to offer all the burnt offerings and sacrifices required in the law. Now, I really don't know the tone of this particular answer, because it could have been sort of a sarcastic end, because as he's responding, now he said, Jesus, are you saying that the burnt offerings and the sacrifices are not that important? Is that what you're saying, Jesus? Because we can see the words and hear the words, but what we cannot hear is the tone. Because some people can express words, but their words can be said with a certain tone. And when you say words with a certain tone, there will be something that I'm going to draw from. And so you look, are you mad? Are you upset? Are you disturbed about something? And I say that only because of the tone that you have said. And so you could say good morning to somebody, but another way you could say good morning. And so therefore there is a difference because of the tone. And what I'm trying to say to the believer, that there should be a positive tone in your life. Matter of fact, I look at it another way. There ought to be a sweet smelling savor, because you have to realize that there ought to be an aura and an energy and an enthusiasm. You can't make some things up. This has to be, because something has to drive you from the inside. We got a whole lot of people who are driven from the outside by things that really don't matter. But here it is in the conversation and the dialogue that is, and I know it is important to love him with all my heart and all my understanding. But here, his response is more of a head response than a heart response. There are some people who can have a head response to God, but there are other people who could have a heart response. And my heart response to God is that I'm going to praise God regardless of what you think about me. If I feel like I want to holler, I'm going to holler. If I feel like I'm going to run, I'm going to run. If I feel like I need to just lift up my hands and give God praise, and even if it's not the appropriate time for you, you don't know what's going on in my life. So
So there is a head understanding, but I need for you to have a heart understanding. And then you realize that we want to have a heart after God. We want to have a passion after God. That's why when you see some people hurting, you feel it as well. They don't have to be your family, but you can feel their pain. You can feel what they're going through. Your heart goes out to them. You say, I've got to pray for them. Matter of fact, I'm going to slip a little money in your pocket because I feel like I need to bless you. God has blessed me to be a blessing to somebody else. And somebody's in the room this morning or listening online, and you can thank God for how somebody else has blessed your life, and now can be a time for you to bless some. Is there anybody here early in the morning and you don't mind celebrating how great God is? Hallelujah. I know it. I know it's important to love him with all my heart and all my understanding and all my strength, and to love my neighbor as myself. And then you're trying to tell me this is more important, and I'm going to deal with that more in the second go round. But of the more important than to offer all of the burnt offerings and sacrifices required in the law. I'm thanking God the law cannot save us. I'm grateful for that which is in the Old Testament. Now, because of what I understand in the New Testament, the Old Testament is the prophetic, getting me ready for the New Testament. But now I can read the Bible and I can balance that thing together. And that's why I could come in here last night and preach out of the book of Zechariah and then come back this morning and preach out of the gospel according to St. Mark. Because God can pull all of these things together, and he pulls them together all to the glory of God. Who am I talking to this morning? That sometimes Satan wants to get you off your game. He wants to get you off the track. But I've come to say, Satan, I'm not going to let you do that to me. I'm going to look to the hills from whence comes my help, because I know my help comes from the Lord. All my help comes from the Lord. And so I'm grateful that love must be at the center of the believer's heart. I'm thanking God that somebody in this room needs to pray that you need a clean heart. Clean up my heart, God. Because when you clean up your heart, it can affect my mind. You can affect my energy. It can affect my enthusiasm. They're always talking now about heart health. When they're typically talking about heart health, they are talking about it from a medical perspective. They're talking about the kinds of things that you need to do to develop your heart. You need to have more omegas. You need to not have as much grease in your system if they're gonna have a healthy heart. But I'm talking about a healthy heart. But the healthy heart I'm talking about is not just my physical heart. Oh, I'm concerned about my physical heart. That's why I try to keep moving. I try to do something every day in an active way. Even before I come to church in the morning, I've already done something to get the heart pumping. But do I have a way? But I'm talking about my spiritual heart. Because if you want to get your spiritual heart together, it's going to be anchored in the Word of God. When I read the Word, that's helping my spiritual heart. When I come into worship, that's helping my spiritual heart. When I'm telling people about the goodness of the Lord, that's helping my spiritual heart. Thank you, God. Thank you for a heart transplant, because some of us, we had some mean and ugly hearts. We needed a heart transplant. I'm looking at some folk this morning, and I know you had a heart transplant. At one time, you didn't want anybody to cross you, and if they did cross you, they better watch their back. But I'm thanking God that you had a heart transplant. I was once lost, but now I'm found, and now you can't even see the ugly in me, because the Lord is cleaning me up. He's washing me up. He's lifting me higher. Is there anybody here? You can't see my past, but I'm thanking God that God can bring me from where I was to where I am. But also I'm understanding where I need to go. Because what's most important is that I don't get frozen. That Disney had a movie talking about Frozen. There are a whole lot of people who can end up being spiritually frozen. God does not want you to be frozen. And if you are frozen, you really need to be thawed out. I love ice cream, and one of the things I love to do with ice cream, I got to take it out of the freezer, but when I take it out of the freezer, I got to sit it on the counter, and I got to let it thaw out. I want some softness to my ice cream. I don't want it hard. I don't want to have to chip at it. I want to leave it out for a little while, and if I get a little impatient, then I'll just throw it in the microwave and zap it because I want to have some softness to my ice cream. What I'm simply trying to say to you is that somebody, you have been hardened by the world. You've been hardened by your experiences. But I'm thanking God that when I put my hard heart in the hands of a warm and a loving God, do I have a witness in here that God can take me from that hard place and move me to where I need? Is there anybody here who can remember when your heart was hard? You had a hard heart. You came in. Matter of fact, we've dealt with some hard heart folk. Matter of fact, sometimes they were hard hearted and they were deacons. How could you be a deacon and a minister and a missionary and be a hard heart? How can you be so angry and so mean and so devilish and all so concerned? Matter of fact, you were there for some deacons. They would just come to church and be mad the whole service, just waiting for the church meeting to get the pastor in line. That's a hard heart. Yeah. God can deliver us. And so we thank God for the hardness and that God can indeed move in our life. Here's number two. Don't get bogged down with the unimportant. There are unimportant things that could be taking place in our lives, but don't get bogged down. Bogged down. I want to get you focusing on the wrong thing. Verse number, we look at this particular passage. Take your eyes back to verse number 28, because there was a debate. One of the teachers of religious law was standing there listening to the debate. You know, some folk, they just so arrogant. They just stand around on the side, think they got all the answers. You met folk like that, think they got all the answers. You can't even finish your sentence before they get ready to jump in and cut you off because they got the answer. This teacher of religious law was standing there, listening to the debate, realized that Jesus had answered well, because if you read all of chapter 13, you realize there's a dialogue going on. If you have the red letter edition of the Bible, you see that Jesus is talking, having conversation, but then it comes down to this thing about the commandments, of all the commandments, which is the most important. See, what he really thought he was trying to do is to trap Jesus. Now, he's not the first one to try to trap a believer. Matter of fact, you run into folk all the time. Once you have declared your faith and declared your focus, you're going to run into people who will love to trap you. They want to trap you into something else. I heard what you said. I know what you're thinking. No, you don't know what I'm thinking, and you don't know what I said. Obviously, your hearing is off, because some folk hear things, but they process it through their own system. They hear it through their own experiences, and sometimes we are hearing things through our wrong experiences. We hear it through our pain. We hear it through the times the doors have been shut and we've been disappointed and how we've been hurt. There's a whole lot of hurt people that we run into. And you know the saying, hurt people hurt people, because they are spreading out their hurt. They don't want to have a private pity party. I want to invite you to my pity party. I want you to be down too. How could you be so happy? How can you be smiling? How can you be talking about brighter days around the corner? The best is yet to come. I'm blessed and I'm highly favored. I'm going to give God praise because I know the Lord will never leave me nor forsake me. But no, they don't want to hear all that. They don't want to hear all that positive talk, all that grinning and smiling and back slapping and looking up and walking with a bounce in your step. They don't want to see all of that. They want you to be negative. No, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. I'm gonna bless the Lord at all times. I'm going to thank God for how far he's brought me, and I'm going to have anticipation of what God is about. Is there anybody here early in the morning and you don't mind thanking God for what lies ahead? Blessings that lie ahead. You've answered. He realized that Jesus had answered well. Who are you? Who are you that you can tell Jesus that he's answered well? See, by him simply saying that lets you know where he thinks he is. He thinks he's in a position to listen to Jesus. You've answered well. How dare you? How dare you? Don't you know that I knew you before you knew yourself? Don't you know that I was able to take nothing and make something? Don't you know that I was here long before you were ever a thought? And here you are. You answered well. You have to realize that sometimes you're going to run into people like that, but don't get bogged down. It's going to happen. It can happen quickly. It can happen while you're getting your food. And Matt, you can get your food. They get minimum wage. And then you getting mad with them. And you fussing with them. Don't you realize, why are you going to give them that kind of attention? Don't get bogged down. Now, I know we live in the DMV. And I didn't really learn this until I came to Prince George's County. I didn't really learn this particular dynamic that when you order your food and you go to pick it up, this is the Prince George's way. The Prince George's way is that when you order your food and you go pick it up, that you go and you take all your food out. So you want to make sure that everything I ordered is in the bag. And the reason why we do that is because we have gone home too many times. Where's my mambo sauce? Where are my wings? Something is missing. So, and now some of the places you go, you don't even have to ask them. When you come pick it up, they start putting it all out. You might as well put it out, because if you don't put it out, I'm going to put it out myself. But they put it out, and then they look at you. Are you happy? Are you satisfied? Put everything back in the bag. It's almost the same thing that brothers go through when you go to the barbershop. Go to the barbershop, typically, and after you finish with your, well, she can't say that to everybody, but when we used to go to the barbershop. Some folks don't have to go anymore. But anyway, typically, brothers, when we finish a haircut, what they will do is bring out the mirror. And brothers know that at that point, you are just supposed to nod. Now, some of us don't just nod. We looking. No, a little bit more over here. Take this over here. You know, so now, sisters, y'all doing the same thing. Oh, yeah. Because if you spend all that time and you getting ready to leave out after getting your hair did, you want it did right. If the color's not right, come on, we got to go another rinse with this building. Come on, somebody. You want to make sure. So what I'm trying to say, my thing was always like this, Ron. My thing was always like this. I can't be like that now because I'm getting older. My hair don't grow as fast. But when a barber would mess up, I understood it's temporary. This is not eternal. I mean, things are gonna change. I had one of my best friends. We grew up together. Matter of fact, Lord called him home early in life. I preached his funeral, as a matter of fact. But I went into. He was a barber, and he did my hair. And then he decided to give me a part. And at that time it was like a half circle part. It wasn't a straight part. It was a half. And he says, Hank, this is what's in. I don't care what's in. I did not ask you for that. But I didn't say anything. I said, okay. I know. Check. Not gonna be coming back to you anymore because we're not. Now I still maintain a good relationship because you just heard me. I preached his funeral, so we still had a great relationship. But we realized that I'm not going to get bogged down. You can't get bogged. Even today, there are things that could have you not focusing on the word because you're focusing on something that is a distraction, something you got to deal with after you leave from here. You couldn't find the right color socks. Don't get bogged down. Don't get bogged down. No. If you find that I have mismatched socks, I did it on purpose. I'm not going to get bogged down because I want to know, what is it, God, that you need to say to me? What's most important? I was teaching a class last year, Kansas City. I was teaching a class in a National Baptist Convention, and I was teaching them about worship. I said, well, you know, they asked me to come in. They said, we want you to teach us your assignment is to lecture us about worship. And I said to them, I said to the class, I said, I asked them the question, what is the most important thing that you come to church for? And then all of them around the room, they said, the word. And I said, look at the design of your worship. I said, from the moment worship starts, how long do I have to wait to hear what's most important? Come on, somebody. Someplace you go, it's 2 hours. They singing, they this, they that. It's a production. And then I get to the word. I went to a church years ago. I will not call the name of the church. I went to the church years ago. It was an 11 o'clock service. Went to church, and matter of fact, the choir marched in. Matter of fact, so the choir marching in, and they were jamming. I mean, they were jamming. And the choir march took them about 15 minutes to get in. And then once they got in, they had on the program, it did not say selection from the choir. It said selections. And so every time the choir would get up, they would sing and they would sing. And then, matter of fact, then it got to the offering. It was offering. It's offering time. And we're still in church. And then during the offering, it said we're going to have club meetings. No, the offering is going on, jamming, the band is, I mean, they banging, and then busy bees in the corner over here, missionaries over there, and they're having meetings in the middle of church. And then all of this, they come back, then they get ready, we ready now for the word. It was 1:30. It was ready for the word, and then the choir was coming back again for selections. It was nearly 2 o'clock. 2 o'clock, pastor was getting up to preach. He could preach now, but one of my friends said to me, he said, my God, how long is this service going to be? And he said, they're not going to get out of here till about 3:30. About 3, it's going to be 3-ish. And they had afternoon service that day. He said, we're not staying for that, are we? No. We're not. We came in for 11 o'clock service. I know we're way into the afternoon. But if it's most important, why do we have so many distractions?
Here it is. Of all the commandments, which is most important? What's the most important thing? My third point, and I'm through. We must give our all to God because that's what God has done for us. He has given us his all.
And that hymn says, Nate, all to him I owe.
Everything I have it because of God. I was listening to a church service. I listen to church services all the time. I was listening to a church service the other day, and they said, we're getting ready now for the return. I said, getting ready for the return? What's the return? I realized that they were talking about the offering. We're getting ready for the return. We're going to return back to God. We're going to return back to God because everything we have it because of him. And so we're getting ready for the return. We're getting ready to give back to God a portion of that which he has given to us. And when he's done, he said, I want you, Monica, to be faithful with that which I have given to you. The Bible says, be faithful over a few things. Come on, somebody. And then I'll raise you up, make you ruler over many. But some of us can't get to the much and the many because we can't deal with the few. Sometimes God wants to see, can you deal with no spotlight, no shine, no credit, nobody calling your name? Can you just simply be faithful? And then you realize that there's a peace in my life and God speaks to me and I can have a joy that the world can't give me and the world can't take it away. I'm going to give my all to God because I think of everything he's given to me. Jesus said to him, the most important commandment, verse number 29, is this. Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is the one and only Lord.
Don't get it twisted. You can talk about Baal, you can talk about this, you can talk about that, but there's only one God, one Lord. As long as you believe in something, no, you better believe in Jesus. I make no apologies for that. I don't care who I'm around. Islam, I don't care who you are. I'm still lifting up Jesus. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart. Yes. Not just Sunday morning, but all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. Yes. I'm loving God with everything I have. I lay in my all on the altar. Then the second, verse 31, says is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. Mm-hmm. No other commandment is greater than these. As a Christian, be careful in how you treat others. Because how you treat others is an expression of your witness. It's an expression of your witness. You get upset with somebody, you cuss them out. It's an expression of your witness. Gotta be careful. You don't know who it is that you could win for Jesus. You don't know who is at a point where they were just about ready to come in. You want to make sure that you're bringing them in, not pushing them away. I said last week, and I'm very serious about this, there are some people who are experts at running people away from church. They are skilled. They are skilled with turning folk off. They're skilled with it. And some of them are in the wrong ministry. They should not be the face of the ministry. They should not be the first one that people meet at the door. The old days was that you were an usher because you couldn't sing. But whatever ministry you're in, you've got to make sure you're in a ministry that fits you. Why be a greeter and you don't want to speak to folk? Why be an usher? You're not even happy to see anybody. Come on, somebody. Now, we're not just going to try to shove you into it. And I said, when people come into my office, I say to them many times, what is your passion? What is it that you want to do that you if you don't get any credit at all, you know that I am operating where God wants me to operate. So I don't need for you to pump me up. It's what I'm passionate about. It's something that I would do whether anybody called my name at all. I'm doing it from my heart, and I know my reward does not come from people. Do I have a witness in here? But my reward comes from the Lord. Love your neighbor as yourself. I mean, speak to folk. You can't have all these bumper stickers and all this other all that stuff. Walking out of the house, your faith strong. And you don't even part your lips. That's one thing. I grew up in Jersey, so it threw me off when I went to school in Virginia. It threw me off totally. When I went to school in Virginia and people spoke to you. I grew up in a community where we just walk past people all day long. You might give them the brother nod. But here I am in Virginia and Tidewater, Hampton Roads, and you riding past a house, man, hey! And they on the porch, rocking, and waving at you. I met a guy, and he used to speak to me. I said, do I know him? Hey man, how you doing? It shook me up. It shook me up because I did not grow up speaking to people like that. It was new. It was a new thing. It was new. So I had to accommodate myself. I had to get rid of my northeastern sort of blockage. Because it is. It's a blockage. You know, Royal, you know what it is. You just it's a tough side if you up that way. You know, nobody wants to be a chump. Everybody wants to be, you know, come across as hard. So that can say the best you're gonna get is the brother nod. Yeah, that's all. What's up? What's up? What's up, man? But we're not pausing and all that. No. But you have to says when I look at the sense of connecting with others. Your witness is vitally important. It's the most important thing. Your witness. Who is it that I'm now able to win for Christ? That 32nd, the teacher of religious law said, well said, teacher. You've spoken the truth. By saying that there is only one God. And no other. But I need you to know something. Jesus did not need him to be validated. He was already validated. Do I have a witness in here? God has already validated you. He woke you up this morning. Started you on your way. Do I have a witness in here? He's still a miracle worker. When I look out there and see Trustee Bernstein Allen, I know he is a miracle worker. God can answer prayer. God can make a way out of no way. Pick you up, turn you around, put your feet on a solid ground. Do I have a witness in here? I will bless the name of the Lord. I will lift up my hands. I will give God the praise. Do you love him? Do you? Do you? Love the Lord. He heard my cry. What's most important?
Jesus is the best thing that could ever happen in your life.
Come on, clap your hands, everybody.
You've been listening to the radio broadcast of the First Baptist Church of Highland Park in Landover, Maryland. If you want to receive a CD or DVD of what you have just heard, please call 301-773-6655 or visit us on the World Wide Web, fbhp.org. And remember, there's power at the park.